It has been a wonderful invitation from the elders of the Kota community for me to come here, and I appreciate that. I'm also always be glad to be with Kota community, to be with a young congregation. Okay? Rarely you see in the congregation, you see young faces. And you have been very nice to me, they're feeding me well, and helping me to put on weight. All right, and I thank Brother Ng and Sister Shirley for putting me in their house and hospitality, because you've been such a good people. And that's the good part of being a Christian, is that wherever you go, you have a family. Right, you have a family. You know, the late sister baby Tan, she has been a widow for many years, 30 years at least, and then and she's only daughter, and she's living in Perth, and we're always afraid of her. She, don't worry, I'm not alone. I've got a big family. You see, and that's what Christianity is. That's what the power, the blood of Jesus brings us together, to be a family. So we become part of each other. If not because we are Christian, we will recognize each other. We are passing by as strangers. So the blood of Christ brings us together, and today we share the same blood, right? We are related by blood, by the blood of Christ, and it's wonderful to be part of this Christian family. And I thank God to allow me to come today to preach to you. So yesterday we talked about the evidence of God, okay? That intelligence proved God, that this universe, this human body cannot exist without God, right? And this morning, just now, a moment ago, we talked about who is this God. Our God is eternal, He's the Creator, He's holy, and He's love. This is the God that we serve. And so what is our responsibility to God? A moment ago, we read in the scripture text, okay, but James tells us about life. What is life? And life is like a vapor. You know what's a vapor? You boil water, the steam comes out. Does it come out forever? After it dissipates, right? Life is like vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. We cannot take life for granted. I've seen in my life experience, even in the church, healthy men just fell dead. I had a deacon. Before I became my elder, was a deacon. I had a co-deacon. He was a very healthy person. He eats healthily, he exercises, he walks every morning, long walk. One day he was walking, he felt chest pain. He called his wife, "Can you come down?" When his wife came down, he really fell dead. Heart attack. You cannot be too sure. A man who eats so healthily, live a healthy lifestyle, who takes his long walk every morning, chest pain, called his wife. His wife came down, he fell. My niece, the husband, was a faithful Christian, right? Very fit, training for a half marathon. So he trained every Saturday. One Saturday, he went up for training. He didn't come back. The wife was worried. Where is he? Or nobody answered. So when the police station, okay, later in the day, police station asked the family come down to the hospital, go down to the hospital. There was him lying motionless. He was running. He had a heart attack. Life is unpredictable. It's a vapor. We cannot be too sure that we have a tomorrow. Life is not guarantee. Life is not an entitlement. Life is a gift of God. Every hour you wake up, you must thank God that you are alive. Because there are others who never wake up. Jesus tells us the parable of a rich farmer, right? He has planned for many years. He said, "Let's eat, like so you rest, you eat and be merry." He thought everything organized, can have a retirement. God said, "This night your soul shall be required of thee." Life is a gift of God. We cannot be too sure that we will have a tomorrow. Just now, we're talking to Brother Sam, his family, we were talking about my daughter, Cheryl was here a few months ago. She'll be coming again. I think July, August, she was saying that the company may send her again. And she had a colleague also from Malaysian office sent to Singapore, two or three of them, for training. And one morning, while they came, they were supposed to meet together with breakfast. While the two had the finished breakfast, hey, what happened to this one? Overnight, this girl who is so fit, who is only just 30 years old, suffered a massive stroke in her room. Right. When they asked the hotel people to open the door, she was there lying in a coma. Ambulance took rushed her to the hospital, had two operations on her brain, but she died. 30 years old, came to Singapore for 1 week. On the third day, passed away in the hotel room. She suffered a stroke. Okay? So you don't think a stroke only old people disease. Young people can have stroke. Life is a vapor. We cannot be too sure. Today, I'm going to talk about this topic, a time to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I introduced to you about God, reason with you that this universe tells us that there's a God and that this life comes from God. Life must come from life. And our life came from God. Right. What is our responsibility? Choose you this day whom you will serve. You have been studying with us, you know the Bible, you know about God, you know about Jesus Christ, you know eternal life. What is your responsibility today? A time to choose. When is the right time to believe? When is the right time to get ready? Today is a lesson. There's a quotation that says, not to decide is decide. I'm not decided, or I don't decide. There are people who prefer other people make decisions, because the decision maker always got responsibilities for your decision. Not to decide, is to decide. You go to the ballot poll. I don't know whether in this country, whether balloting is compulsory or not. But if you don't want to, go to the ballot poll, you are making a decision. Okay? Whoever became the prime minister, the ruling party, I don't care. But it's going to affect your life. It's going to affect your life. That's it. Not to decide is to decide, right? So today, you've got to make a decision. In life, we are spoiled for choice. Every morning when we wake up, you've got to make a choice that what to wear to work, what to eat for breakfast, and when lunchtime, why enter the hawker center, too much food. You're spoiled for choice. So you got the problem what to choose. We are spoiled for choice, but all these choices are insignificant compared to the decision that we're going to make that will affect our eternity. That's the choice that's important. In this life, there are important choices and not important choices. And some choices affect our life. And life is a result of choices. Life is a result. What you are today, what you are a person today, is a result of your choices. If you are overweight today, why are you overweight? Well, you eat too much, right? Or you eat and you don't exercise. It's a choice. You see, you want to be fit and trim, well, control eating, go and exercise. Right? Overweight. Or if you're late for worship, you're late for work, you're late for anything. Why? Oh, you didn't wake up on time. Or you woke up, the alarm clock bell bring up, you think I'll take another 15 minutes. Late over short. Or you calculate your time that the worship starts at 10:45 or the journey is still half an hour, so you leave your house 10:15, but then the bus didn't come, or then you are caught in a traffic jam. So it's your choice. Or you are poor. Why are you poor? You think what? You don't want to work. You didn't work hard. You see, you don't want to study at that time. You are poor. Or you are unhappy today. Why are you unhappy? Some people they wake up, they complain really. They grumble all the time. Monday again. You see, you choose to be unhappy. Okay? Life is the result of choice. You come from a broken family. Where you come from a broken family? Oh, because of your behavior, you didn't perform the job as a husband. You didn't go and bring the bread home. You were alcoholic and you abused your wife and you caused the marriage to fail. Choice. The life. Or you're in jail. Why are you in jail? You follow the wrong people and you rob the bank. You are in jail. Our lives are the sum of the choices that we have made. Okay? Today you are successful. Today you have a good family. You have to work for it. It's your choice. See? Yeah, your family. You either build your family or you destroy your family. By your action, by your words. Life is a result of choice. So the choices we make today will impact our life tomorrow. See, even as students, some of you are on the choice of choosing the course to study. See, if you choose to study law, then you'll be prepared to work very hard. Lawyers don't have the time of 9-to-5 job. Tomorrow you got a court hearing, you got to go to the court, defend your client, you say 5 o'clock, I'll go home. You got to prepare your case. You go prepare late in the night, you go whole week. See? Life is a lot of choice. What course you choose? You choose go to this course, then prepare to work on Sunday. I'm not going to take on this job. See, if this job requires me to work on Sunday, I'm going to take on this job. I'm going to miss worship. You choose your friends. Okay? The good friends you mix together. You choose the right friend. You study hard. And all of you compete in your result. So all of you study very hard. You choose the wrong guy and they don't study. Yeah, the games, arcade, everything. You choose your friend and the result of your choice. You choose your spouse. Oh, you choose the one who is dashing, handsome. He's not a Christian, but although he's a smoker, he's a drinker. Prepare to suffer in marriage. See? Choose your spouse correctly, right? Choose wrong person, you have a wrong marriage. See? I never celebrate Valentine's Day. I tell you first, my wife said, it's not Valentine. If you are in love, every day is Valentine. If you are not in love, you only go Valentine one day a year. The rest of the year, it is Labor Day. You see, you are in love, every day is Valentine's Day. Okay? Not Labor Day. Right? Choose your spouse. If you follow a friend to rob a bank, okay, you go to jail. See, life is a result of choice. The choice we make today will impact our life tomorrow. So every choice we make has consequences. Okay, we can choose. We are spoiled for choice, but we cannot choose the consequences. We cannot choose. It comes in a package. Comes with it. You cannot choose the consequences. You cannot choose how people react, how this thing will go, right? The consequence is not within your choices to make, right? Today, you choose to hurt your wife, to say abusive word. Prepare for the consequences. You cannot choose. Why are you so sensitive? Right? You cannot say that, right? Choose your word. The life's most important choice is about eternity. That's why we are here. That's why we are here this morning. Okay? Because man will die. Okay? And after death, what happened? After death, to many people, they don't want to believe that there is life after death. But you can deny it, but you cannot escape it. Because you will face your God, your judge, when you die. And so in the judgment day, there are only two places to go, heaven and hell. Right? Where will you spend eternity? This is a life most important decision. What is eternity? Okay, eternity is so far away that this life, 70 years, even 80 years, or 100 years, is insignificant. Right? Yesterday, we talked about how big is the universe. You see, the universe is, the telescope can see until 93 light years. And that's the age. That's not even the age of the universe. God is still growing. And one light years is 9.5 trillion kilometers. A trillion is 12 zero. 9.3 billion light years. For the light travel for 9.3 billion years, you still haven't not reached universe. What is the distance from Earth to the Sun? This 150 million kilometers is nothing. If you draw it to scale, you can't even draw it. What is eternity? If you have 100 years, I mean, eternity, okay, that's everlasting and everlasting and everlasting. This life is insignificant. Is it worth investing in this few years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years faithfulness And the dividends is paid everlasting. Right? Today, nobody will sell insurance that pay everlasting. Right? God's dividends is everlasting. So there's a choice for everyone. God gave man a choice. Joshua, at the end of his life, asked the Israelites, say, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served beyond the river on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. They were there in the Palestine. They were the land of the Amorites. They saw their idols. Say, you choose who you will serve. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He determines that for his choice and his family, we will serve the Lord. So the choices we make in life, maybe like self. I'm a free thinker. I am by God. I answer to nobody. That's what a lot of people now in this the world has become. There are more and more atheists in this world. There are more and more free thinkers in this world. Not only in the West, but in the East. Right? More and more free thinkers. But these people, they are gods. I am my owner of my own destiny. I don't care. Right? Don't want to serve the devil. Right? Serve sin. Only few want to serve God. Jesus is right. The straight and narrow way, few will enter in the way. You see? So it takes effort to walk the straight and narrow way. But it is worth to walk this straight and narrow way because the paid out is eternity in heaven. So when we compare this life and eternity, it is worth paying. But many people, they are short-sighted. They say, let's eat, drink, and be merry here. Well, if this life is so short, let's enjoy ourselves. They didn't look for eternity, right? Choice determines action. So the choice they make determines the kind of life they do, determines the action that will follow. In the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus tells a parable about a man having two sons. The younger say that, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalleth me. Right. This son, he was in his father's house, but the father provided everything, was living a good life, but he does not treasure the blessings. He wants independent. He wants to be free from the father, not free from the father. Everything I do, my father controls me. Okay. My father said, son, put away your phone, go to time to sleep. Son, put away your phone. Let's study tomorrow exam. Right. I know I've been a kid before. Children don't like it. Right. I'm just playing my game. I need rest. Every time when I ask my children, hey, put on your phone, go to sleep. And they say, go to study. They all say, I need to rest my eyes. You rest your eyes by looking at the phone. they study, open the books and rest my eyes. You rest your eyes. We rest our eyes. We just close our eyes and just sit there, do nothing. You don't rest your eyes. Right? Yesterday, while having dinner with Brother Eng, I told him, do you know that the Bible talk about handphone? I said, where the Bible talk about? Yes. Moses mentioned handphone in the Bible. I said, where did Moses? Do you know where did Moses mention handphone in the Bible? He mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 6:7, and Moses told the fathers that you go teach your children when you sit down, when you lie on the bed, when you rise up, when you walk, right? Or you'll be as frontless in your eyes, right? You sit down, talk to them, you stand up, when you lie down, when you walk. What are young people doing these days? With the handphone. When they sit down, when they lie on the bed, when they rise up, the first thing, the handphone. When they walk across the road, so the handphone is the only thing in the frontless of their eye. You see? God knows what it is. But God is not talking about a handphone, right? The Bible, right? Remember the scriptures, the moment you wake up, right? But today, young people, the moment they wake up, they remember the handphone. The first thing they touch is the handphone, not the toothbrush. Is it that? Is it so, young people? Huh? The last thing they touch before they go to sleep was also the handphone. See? God knows it. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. And they are doing exactly Okay, when they rise up, when they walk, when they lie down. Choice determines action. Okay? It's their choice. Okay? It determines, and this is just saying, Father, give me. And then the Father gave him, and then he took his journey and spent his money on riotous living. See, that was his choice. He chose to leave the Father. Right? And he spent his money on riotous living. What is riotous living? Riotous means called riot. It is a life of sensuality, okay? It's the life of eat, drink, and be merry, that's it. With the money, instead of going to invest or going to work, become an entrepreneur, he spent it. How long can money last? It didn't last very long. He finished it. No money, no friends. You see? First time he realized that no money, no friends. He had to feed the swine. Then he realized that in my Father's house, my servant eats better than all this. He was there to feed the pigs. Then he made another choice. I will arise and go to my Father. A choice he made. And then he rise up and he return home. Choice determines action. Choice also determines our destination. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but everlasting life. You choose to believe, you will everlasting life. You choose not to believe, you will perish. Choice determines destination. God has already given us a choice. You believe on the Son, you have eternal life. On this side, if you don't believe on the Son, you will not have eternal life. You will perish. Eternal life or eternal death is within our choice. See? God does not destine anybody to go to heaven or hell. God said, I give you the choice. It's up to you. The choice to go to heaven or hell. So today is where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Where do you think will spend eternity? And today our text in Luke chapter 16, verse 9 to 31, when Jesus talks about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. He said that there was a certain rich man was clothed in purple. The cloth in purple means the colorful clothing. These are the clothing of a rich people. Right, rich people. The poor people wear those rough clothing. They are all like gray color in sackcloth. Right, the rich got fine linen. Cloth in purple in fine linen. And he fares sumptuously every day. Wow, he has good food. He has good food every day. And so that was the lifestyle of this rich man. And then he said, oh, there was another person, a poor beggar. This poor beggar, he was named Lazarus. He was laid at his gate full of stones. So this gate, every day stationed outside his gate there, this Lazarus outside his gate, and his whole body was full of sores. And he said, designed to be fed from the rich man's crumbs, the table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. See, what he only waited every day at the gate was the leftover, which the rich man will put in the bag and dump it in the rubbish bin. He will just go and dig it. The crumbs, the leftover. Right? The only comfort that he get was from the dogs. Okay? His body was full of sores because he couldn't see a doctor's and there were flies and everything. And the dogs licked his wound. That's the only comfort he gets. Okay? He must be very itchy to scratch, but the dog licks that. That was only friends, the dogs. So there was this a rich man who has everything and a poor beggar who didn't even have food. The next verse says that, and it came to pass that the rich man, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Everybody, people died. I like this statement, which I highlighted in red, that the rich man also died. Aren't you glad that rich people, famous people, presidents, kings also die? And not just the poor people die. You see, God is fair. Whether you are rich, you are poor, you are kings, you are beggars, you die. That's why I like this word also. The rich man also. And rich man cannot pay people to die on their behalf. Aren't you glad that the rich man also die? And when this Lazarus died, the Bible says that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Right, he was like Abraham's bosom, the mother carrying the baby. It's a place called paradise. It's not literally that we find Abraham carrying the beggar like this, right? A place of comfort, a place of paradise. But what happened to this rich man? He said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So he was in hell. The word hell actually in the Greek is Hades. The more correct translation is Hades. Hades is in Greek means the place, the realm of the departed. When the souls die before the judgment, they are placed in this place called Hades. And Luke chapter 16 describes to us what is Hades like. That there are two compartments. One is called paradise or Abraham's bosom. The other one is called the Tartarus or the place of torment where this rich man was in. And between them, there was a great gulf fixed. So Luke 16 describes to us when we die, where do our souls go? It goes first to the place of Hades. In Hades, being in torment, see, one was in a place of comfort in Abraham's bosom, the other person was in a place of torment. You know about the mega church. The mega church talk about prosperity gospel. The more you give, the more God multiplies. So if you didn't give, maybe you're not giving enough, you're not blessed. But look at this parable. If the prosperity gospel is true, the rich man should be in Abraham's bosom. That's what prosperity gospel says. You are rich, God bless you. If God bless you, you must be. But this rich man was suffering. He was in torment. You see, it shows that the folly of the prosperity gospel. It is the devil's gospel. It's a gospel that says you can buy heaven with money. The more money you give to God, you have a place in heaven. It is no different from last time the Catholicism, the self-indulgences in the early days of Catholicism. The priest will sell indulgence in the streets. When your money drop in the coin thing, your place in heaven is also ring for you. Spread the gospel is the same as that. So the rich man, so in torment, the rich man cried, say, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. See? When you get scorched by a hot kettle or a pot, you want to keep putting your finger there? You quickly want to remove it, right? Nobody likes the kind of heat. Okay? He was tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in a lifetime received the good things and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he's comforted. And you are tormented. You see? In Abraham's bosom, there was comfort. In the other place, there was tormented. Abraham reminds this rich man, Son, remember that thou in the lifetime. In the judgment day, God will put us to remembrance because we have to give an account of our life. God will flash the things that you have done in your lifetime. And they say, Son, remember. You in your lifetime. This is your choice. These were your choices in your lifetime. And that's the consequence today in eternity. It is a reminder for us that we will stand in judgment before God. And God will flash our lives in front of us. And we cannot argue. Yes, I did this. Yes, I saw Lazarus every morning and I didn't feed him. Son, remember your lifetime. So what was this rich man's problem? That he was poor in charity. He was rich. He could afford to give bread to Lazarus. It doesn't cost him a lot, right? But he did not. He was poor in love. God wants us to love. Remember in the parable of judgment in Matthew 25, Jesus said that when the time shall come in his glory and shall reward the righteous, he will separate the sheep from the goats. He will say that to the sheep, you come and in the everlasting kingdom, for I was hungry, you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me drink, I was naked, you clothed me, I was sick, you visited me, I was in prison, and you came to me. He said, Lord, when did we see you do all this to you? He said, inasmuch as he did to one of these least, you've done it unto me. The rich man failed to give to one of these least. He has paid the price for it. They said, God wants us to show hospitality, to serve love to our neighbor, to our brethren. So he was poor in charity, and so he was poor in spiritually. He didn't have God. He lived a life trusting in his riches, in his wealth, like the rich farmer in the parable in chapter 12 of Luke. I have many things laid up for many years. So eat, drink, and be merry. He trusted in all these things. The rich man trusted in his wealth. But his wealth cannot buy him a place in heaven. He did not have God. And so he became poor in eternity. So in eternity, there was a game changer. So Lazarus was comforted. He was in torment. In the life, Lazarus was suffering. He was living a comfortable life. Therefore, he was poor in eternity. He was rich, but he became poor. Will you rather be rich today and be poor in eternity, or be poor today and be rich in eternity? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven belongs to these people. You are rich today. God does not reap riches, but your life, your attitude, the poor in spirit. So the rich man's anguish, what was his pain? In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Jesus is warning us about this place, that it is no fun to be there. It is no fun. What he asked for, just a drop of water. They sent Lazarus that may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue. Just a drop of water. All the money that he had on this earth could not buy him a drop of water in heaven. He said, for I am tormented in this flame. God, Jesus showing us what being in the other place is like. That I don't think you want to go there. Anybody else wants to go there. So what was the rich man's mistakes? He had treasures only on this earth. So many people in this life set up treasures on earth. Jesus says, set up your treasures in heaven, like where neither moth nor rust corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. You see, in heaven, your treasure is secure. Nobody can take away. God wants us to set up treasure. This rich man and many people on this earth likewise set up their treasures on earth. They trust in this thing. In this life, this rich man's problem, he did not think of death. Yes, when you are young, you don't think of death. You think that, oh, I got so many years ahead of me to decide. Right? Well, if I start living a Christian life, I'm 30 years old, I start living a Christian life, then if I live up to 80, I got 50 years there. 50 years cannot eat, cannot drink, cannot wear this cloak, cannot party, must every day study the Bible. You have a choice, you see, that you have 54 years. But many people, young people, I'm still young. I have time to choose. You see, a lot of people think that when I retire, then I believe. But their hearts become so hardened that even when they retire, they will not. Last night, people were so busy with their career and life, say, don't worry, when I retire, then I start to serve God. But they become so used to it, they did not serve God. He never did. He did not think about what happened after death. Not only that, he did not prepare for death, he did not think about what happened after them. Many people, they don't want to think about it. They thought that death is the end. And so they deceive themselves. The death is the end. You can escape it. Even if you don't want to think of it, even if you deny it, but it is there. And you have to face it. And you have to face the consequence. So he did not prepare for eternity, and so because of that, he became poor in eternity. He suffered. Today, we are asking you to make a choice. I'm reminded it is not a sin to be rich. God never condemns the rich. God never cursed the rich in the Bible. Right. God only says that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul instructs Timothy, okay, charge them they are rich. So it shows that there are people who are rich in the congregation of those days. Charge them, but tell them, don't trust. Be not high-minded, nor trust in certain riches. Be not high-minded, don't be proud of your riches. These are blessings of God. Okay? Don't put your trust in that, and don't become proud of them. Don't become proud, nor trust in your riches. Because we know this pandemic taught us a lot of things. And one thing that, during this, the last 2 years, many companies pulled up. Right? Many companies pulled up. Last 2 years. Do not trust in riches, you see. You think that a company that's so strong today, that Microsoft and all this, they will last forever? Who knows? Another technology will overtake them and then they go bust. See, in my time, we have Kodak company, Kodak film. You all take cameras. Last time, before digital, there was Kodak film and Fuji film. And Kodak dominates. If you're between Kodak and Fuji, you choose Kodak. Kodak is like a company that will never, it will last forever. Because you take picture, it must have film. Then the digital comes in. And then killed Kodak. And Kodak film. And the handphone came. Wow. Last time there was the Nikotai. Motorola, remember? The handphone that's so big and heavy. If you drop your head, you'll die. The Taiwanese, they call it Nikotai. So yeah, you see the Taiwan movie, the Mafia, always carry that one. So big one. Right. Like your army walkie-talkie. Bigger than that. Heavier than that. Right. Motorola. You know, today, who use Motorola today? Handphone. Nokia. Also. There's no guarantee. It may once you may have the good days over here. The Nokia has its good days. Then overtaken. But another technology, the Samsung, the iPhone came in. They were leaving it behind. It now is either Samsung or iPhone. Dominates. Will they last forever? Who knows? Another 5 years, 10 years, another technology comes and overtakes it. Do not trust in uncertain riches. Okay? Pandemic, things, technology will change it, but it's the living God. Even if you have money, trust in God. Okay? Who gave us richly all things to enjoy. Remember the source of your blessing. God, it is God who gave us all things richly to enjoy. See, so every day you wake up, you thank God you have a life. You thank God that He gave you another day to live. You thank God for the blessings. Okay? That's why you don't just give thanks for the food that's laid before you. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Okay? And what must you do to show your thankfulness? In verse 80, that they do good. See? Use your riches to earn you to lay out treasures in heaven, not on earth. To do good, to be rich in good works. You see, God gave you the blessings not for you to conserve and keep to yourself, but to bless others. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what Jesus commanded his disciples. Freely you have received. God gave you this blessing. Freely distribute to others. That they do good, they be rich in good works and ready to distribute, to share, to help, to be generous and willing to communicate. See, rich people, they have a greater responsibility to help. And we see this in the early days of the Christianity, okay, where they sold their goods and they're going to distribute to the poor saints. And so in verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. When they have done these things, what are they actually doing? They are laying up for themselves treasures in heaven. A good foundation. That's the good foundation they have. And we know a foundation is important. You build a house, a good foundation is important. So that the floods came, the wind blow, the house will stand. And Paul says, you use your riches for goodness. You lay a good foundation against the time to come. When you die, you may lay hold on eternal life. It is what Jesus said, you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Your treasures in heaven, you'll be blessed. You can use the riches for good. That is the game changer. That is the game changer. What the rich man's wealth cannot do is that he cannot extend his life on earth. Not even for a minute. If God says, tonight thy life shall be taken away from you, and who shall this be whom thou hast store for thyself? He cannot extend his life. Money cannot extend life. He cannot deliver him from the fire of hell. Okay? Your money cannot save you. In eternity, he said, God, I'll give you all my money. Just give me a place of paradise. It will not work. You cannot buy him a drop of water. There's no drink store in Hades. There's no drink store in hell. You see, you cannot use the money to buy a glass of cold water, a can of Coca-Cola. You don't have it. You don't sell it in hell. You cannot secure him a place in heaven. Jesus says that, for what is a man profited if shall what gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You may have the world. You may be the richest man in the world. What does it profit if you are not Christian? If you don't believe in God, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Only in hell, when the judgment came, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. You can't spend your money then. It is better to be poor now and have God than be rich and without. Don't you think so? Better be poor and have God than be rich and without. See, the rich and poor, yes, one live in big house, one live in a slum, see, in death, all occupy the same space. All were buried in the ground. Same space. Today, in Singapore, because let's say we cremated, it all become dust and bones. Right? In eternity, it makes a difference. Doesn't matter what house you live today, how much money you have in your bank. The important thing is whether you have God. You know, Satan's greatest lie is that you have plenty of time to get right with God. That's the greatest lie. Satan said, wait, yeah, you can, there are tons of time. You're still young. You're only 20 years old. You're only 30 years old. Right? Enjoy your life first. Life is not an entitlement. Right? Every day, the 24 hours is God's blessing. It's the gift of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall be glad and rejoice in it. Psalms 118 and verse 24. Right. Life is a gift from God. Satan said, you have a long life ahead. Okay? Why go to church now? Go to church after when you retire. You may not have the time. Right. It's the greatest line of sin. But tomorrow may be too late. And people already said, I've learned hard lessons that tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. You like a girl, you caught on the walk with her for a few years, but you don't have the courage to tell him I love you or propose. Say, I'll do it tomorrow. Then somebody else get in front of you. Tomorrow you ask her, they say, I already accepted Jerry's one. Tomorrow may be too late for anything. You see, do it today. The time to choose is today. Don't forget September 11, 2001. In September 11, 2001, when the terrorists crashed two planes into the World Trade Center in New York, 3,000 souls perished that day. 3,000 souls, including the farm, the police, and the 300 firefighters that went up. The firefighters went up, the whole building crushed on them. These are the firefighters. And those who went to office early, 3,000. These 3,000 souls, did they know that they would die that day? They were young. Many of them got plans. Some people say, today is my last day. Tomorrow I'm going to start a new work at the CEO of another company. Another may say, hey, later I have a meeting with my wife. This tonight I've got dinner with my wife. Another may have a plan that today I've got a celebration with my children. a birthday party with my parents this evening. Another may say, I'm going to marry this Saturday, get married this Saturday. Another may have this plan that I'm going for a Europe vacation next week. Every one of them has plans. I guarantee you that everyone has a plan. Some for marriage, some for vacation, some that's going to be a new father, a new mother. Some plan to get married. All their plans died with them that morning, September 11. That's what life is. Right? It's unpredictable. Every day across the world, how many thousands die on the road? How many more thousands more die in the hospital bed? How many thousands more die of heart attack each day? Right. Every year, globally, there are 50 million deaths across the globe. 50 million deaths across every year. Then you woke up that it means that every 2 seconds, one person died. Every 2 seconds, one person died. So you are thinking about 2 seconds, one person died already. Some people just died sitting down there, died in his while working in his work, accident death at work site. My government was concerned about the accident death at work site. The last few weeks, people died. Especially in construction, fell from height, crushed by machinery, crushed by the materials they were hoisting, crushed on them. They never planned to die, right? Don't forget September 11. These people, they all have planned. All of them has planned for the day, maybe for the weekend. Their party, to get married, to go vacation. They want to some may become a new father. Some say, oh, I'm going to start a new job tomorrow. Crush. The time to choose for eternity is now. These 3,000, how many were prepared for eternity? If they died without God that day, they died like the rich man in the place of torment. Satan said, you have time. God say, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, drink and be merry. That's what every man think. Okay? That I work, I save, I'm going to go for vacation. I'm going, I got this money, I can retire. God said to him, so thou fool this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Life is in the hands of God, not in my hands. Right? We don't know that today when we go out, we say, like, well, can't knock us down. Or we walk halfway, we'll die of a heart attack. We won't know. We can't guarantee. You see, there are many healthy people, young people, who die just like that. While walking, having stroke, having heart attack. They die just like that. So, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And what shall those things be who you have provided? Yes, you have plans until your retirement. You say, I'm going to my career path and go retire at 65 and then go enjoy life, go travel Europe. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Note every time we read the tombstone, say, in loving memories, what if the memory is regretful? Right? Thou fool. This night thy soul shall require of thee. This person, he went to eternity without believing in God. This man, he died unprepared to meet his God. What if the same words are said to you tonight? What if the same words are said to you tonight, you fool? Tonight your soul shall require of thee. Yes, you have planned. Today is the Sunday. Oh, I've got a plan for this week. Monday, I'm going to have dinner with Andy. Tuesday, I'm going to have dinner, lunch with Sam. And this weekend, I'm going traveling to Phuket. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. What if the same words are said to you tonight? God wants us to make a choice today. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now, not tomorrow. Not next year, not 10 years later. It's the day of salvation. We cannot be sure. We cannot choose when to die. We have to make a choice. When you die, there's no coming back to get things right with Jesus Christ. Once you die, you die. You regret after that, like a rich man, it is no use. Right? You die, it's gone forever. The choice you make in life, you have made already. You got to make the consequence. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every man will die, rich and poor, kings and beggars will die, and after this, the judgment. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone. Our God gave us a choice. What do we want to do in eternity? And our loving God said that it is very simple. Like, I give you my Son. I give Jesus Christ. He died for you. Listen to Him. Yeah. Hear the gospel. Won't you believe in my Son? He that had the Son had life. Won't you believe in Jesus Christ? It is not something that's difficult that God asks you to do. Just believe. I give you the Bible. I give you the evidence. Believe in the Son. Believe that Jesus died for your sin, that He's your Savior, and His blood can cleanse you from your sin. To repent of it. To change your way. To repent of your unfaithfulness. To repent of your sin. Determined to live a godly life. To confess your faith in Jesus Christ. To live a life of faithfulness. The confession of faith is not just limited to your baptism, but to live a life of confessing Jesus Christ. That wherever you go, be or not, you are a Christian. And be baptized for the remission of sin. Baptism wash away sin. Don't believe what denomination tells you, that baptism does not wash. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And we talk about God is sovereign. His authority, and He lays the rules. And His rule says that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Don't hear what men say. They are not going to bring you to heaven. Jesus is the one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then live a life of faithfulness to God. God wants us to say, the eternity is more valuable and precious than the financial riches you have. Right? All we have, you only can enjoy for this period of time. Eternity, your riches last forever, right? The true gain is found in the godliness and contentment. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't worry if you are not rich, you are just a middle class worker. Be content. Okay. Happiness lies in contentment, right? Rich people are not content. They say, I want the next million, the next million, the next million. Contentment. Know that Jesus is the ultimate treasure. Christ is our ultimate treasure. John 3:18. Jesus, God said, he that believed on the Son had eternal life. He that believed on the Son had eternal life. That's so simple, is it? God does not require anything, like the book of Romans chapter 10 says, you know, we go to the mountains or go down to the deep in the sea to find it. It's all there for you. In the book, it is written. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It is all written in this book. And if I how to go to heaven, it is all laid out in here. So there's a day coming, which we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. But the choice is yours. See? You only can make a choice for yourself. Heaven or hell, where will you spend eternity? You want to be like the beggar in Abraham's bosom, or you want to be the rich man in the place of torment? He who believes in the Son has eternal life. The plan of salvation is so simple. A faith, an obedient faith that believes, repent, confess, and be baptized. Choose to be in heaven. The time to choose is now. Don't be caught dead without Jesus, because it's hell without Him. Life is good. Life may be good to you today. Life is good to you today. Thank God if life is good to you today. is God will bless you and thank God for that. But life, eternal life is better. Right? Eternal life is better than any kind of life on this earth. So make the decision today. Amos 4 verse 12, prepare to meet your God. Choose to do God's will. Choose heaven instead of hell. Choose to believe today. Today. Don't put off your salvation because when God says, this night thy soul shall require of thee, that you'll be too late. Moses, before his departure on end of this life, told the Hebrew nation, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Right? He told them, it's life and death. It's a choice. It is blessing with God or the cursing on the other side of eternity. He exhorts them, therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live. And I hope today you will decide to choose life, to choose eternal life. The time to choose is today. We have a song, encouragement, invitation. This yoke is easy. God does not require us to do anything, just to believe, to repent, confess, baptize, and live a life of faithfulness to Him. And eternity, He says, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. You arise and sing.